In our gospel reading for today, we hear the familiar story of the workers in the vineyard and how all receive the same wages. Our thoughts can go multiple ways in reflecting on this gospel passage. To the image of God's grace and love filling each of us, whether we or others think we are worthy. Or salvation coming to all those faithful disciples of Christ, no matter when they responded to his call. But many people might think of wages for the workers in the vineyard when they hear this gospel passage. And they would not be wrong, because Jesus probably also meant that to be one of the messages that people heard, as Jesus had labored himself and had chosen laborers as followers. Jesus would have learned from Joseph and Mary the work they each did to support their family, carpentry or building, depending on how one understands Joseph's profession to be. Mary would have been involved in the domestic pursuits of growing, gathering, and purchasing food, spinning yarn from wool and weaving textiles for clothing and cloths, probably milking sheep or goats for cheese, and she probably also had Jesus help her at times as well. Our Lord, our God, is a laborer. Jesus worked with his hands, which means that he worked with his skills and his mind, his whole body, being in motion and at rest at times in his labor, judging the work that he was doing, and probably delighting in the finished product. Did Jesus finish planing a plank from raw lumber and look down upon the smooth wood and say to himself, "This is good"? I bet those words resonated in heaven. Jesus' mechanical labors are hidden from us, probably because we are not meant to judge him on the quality of his craftsmanship, but on his public ministry and his preaching and healing among the people. But we can surely believe that he didn't sit around idly while others worked. When in the boats with Peter and the others, did he ever row? Did he help bring in the net, raise a sail, help beach the boat, and gut fish? Would the disciples have followed him if he wasn't willing to help? Would they have teased him if he got seasick or had a large wriggling fish slip out of his hands and back into the sea? Think about Jesus at work for a minute, whether on land or at sea. And then think about this parable of the workers in the vineyard. How would this have sounded to men and women who labored with their bodies, milking fidgety sheep, hauling in heavy nets, and smoothing away splinters? What person listening to Jesus' parable would say, "No matter how much fish you bring in, you get the same payment"? Or, "No matter how many cloths you've weaved and crafted into clothes, you all get the same amount"? In Jesus' time and in ours, we are meant to think of how God's grace and love are more than enough for us, and all that we need. But when Jesus frames this in the language of labor, we are also meant to reflect on the dignity of work. Imagine those laborers who arose early, coming in the dim dawn to the place where they hoped to be called to work, where they would be paid for labor so that they could provide for their families, with others of their families, up early to milk animals, gather wood for the cooking fires, and fetch water, all before the heat drove them into shade, while the vineyard workers dealt with heavy grapes and twisty vines that roughed up their fingers. And then those who came later, maybe having overslept due to a late night with a colicky infant, or the pains of yesterday's labor denying them the ability to rest. Imagine their joy when they were called into the vineyard for work. They didn't expect the daily wage, but they were probably happy at the promise of some payment. And then those who came at the end, who were they? Were they really just standing there idle all day, If so, then why weren't they brought in with the other groups? Who were they? Were they people who slept off last night's wine? Were they people who lived far away and had to travel to find work because they woke up to find the shepherd dead and their flock stolen or mauled? Were they people who'd been conscripted by the Romans to build gallows upon which others were crucified? Or had they been digging drainage ditches for the roadway and paid a pittance for their day's labor, not enough to feed their family, what with the price of bread rising these days? Did they hear about this incredibly generous landowner who was taking in laborers so late in the day? Did they hope to gain something, even just an additional poor penny? Imagine their joy when they received a day's wage. Would they be grateful? Would they think it only just? Or would they not even think to be thankful? I wouldn't say God doesn't care, but that God gives us so much despite what God knows our reactions and attitudes to be. In thinking about this parable and labor, we should think about all those who labor for us, for themselves, and our own labors. Are we grateful for the cashiers who rose early and traveled to the bagel shop to take our order when we arrive? For the bus drivers already on the road before dawn? Or for those who climb into the air control tower or fuel the plane that is our early morning flight? Do we rise with grumbles in an early morning, thinking that our work isn't appreciated by those whom we are working for when we bake croissants in a steamy kitchen or climb into our patrol car for a day's dealing with the beltway? Do we walk into our offices or log into our morning Zoom from home with appreciation for all those with whom we'll be interacting that day? Are we aware of how interconnected we all are? From farm to table, in the garbage trucks in the boardroom? Do we look out for our brothers and sisters no matter what they do? And are we grateful? Is there a special place in our hearts for those who labor for us, no matter whether or not we are physically laboring? Are we especially aware of the toil on the body and the physical danger to those who build, clean, transport, and cook? About 130 years ago, the first document of modern Catholic social teaching was released by Pope Leo XIII. In response to the abuses of laborers in the Industrial Revolution, especially those in factories where physical danger could leave someone injured or even killed, when people were forced into intolerable living and working conditions, not paid fair wages, or able to get safe working situations. This was not the first time people found themselves in these dangerous situations. But the official and public response of the Church at that time served as a clarion call that has been built upon over the last 13 decades. And yet we still have more to do to take care of those who labor for us. The dignity of workers to have fair wages, safe jobs, and the right to be employed or to create businesses is still threatened today. Sometimes it is threatened by unscrupulous employers who cheat workers of their full wages or hire those who are so desperate for work that they are willing to accept inadequate pay. Sometimes it is also societal conditions that prompt us to make choices that have led to workers being displaced as manufacturing is sent to places where the work is done less expensively and often under conditions that would be illegal in our nation. Labor from overseas products by itself is not unfair as long as the workers are given fair wages and are treated with respect, with consideration for their conditions and their dignity. But the decision to move production to other nations must also have consideration for the workers displaced and who would now be unemployed or underemployed. Taxation and prices should not create undue burdens for families or single persons. And employment should not be denied workers based on arbitrary factors. Government policy should support living wages and practical solutions that take into account the travel distances and conditions of workers. Special care should be paid to those laborers whose jobs involve risk to their health, especially when death or work-ending injuries can occur, whether from sometimes unavoidable hazards of their jobs or from shoddy practices and cost-cutting measures that unnecessarily endanger those who are doing the work. In a mass a few months ago at a Franciscan parish just outside D.C., those at the altar were surrounded by chairs with 19 white hard hats representing those workers in the building trades in our area who had died at work in the last year. And a 20th hard hat represented the over 200 construction workers who had died of COVID during the pandemic. The celebrants wore hard hats in the procession, not as a stunt, but to show true solidarity with those workers in the congregation and their family members, including those who had lost family members due to death on the job. Jesus showed solidarity with us by laboring among us and calls us to be aware of those who labor for us and to recognize the laborers that we do for others. This Labor Day, or even earlier, let us remember those who labor for us, maybe by watching a movie like The Perfect Storm, about those who go out to the deep to fish for our food, sometimes not coming back. Maybe listen to Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, a ship carrying iron ore in the Great Lakes, and think about what that iron it had previously carried had been made into, that maybe you use today. Maybe read a book like Michael Pollan's The Omnivore's Dilemma, about where our food comes from and how it is hunted, raised, gathered, and grown, and be grateful for those who cook for us, clean the dishes that we use, make the porcelain and metalware that we use for serving and cooking. The next time you sit down to a meal, whether at home or a restaurant, pray at grace for those who brought you that food to your plate, whether farmers, cooks, or truck drivers, and be grateful that you can have that meal and how you were able to work for it. The next time you enter the grocery, look around and be grateful for all those who built, staffed, and stocked that building. The next time you come to Mass, walk by the chapel entrance and gaze upon that statue and reflect upon the plate and the cup and the meal that we are about to share at the Eucharist. At Mass, listen to the words, "Fruit of the earth and work of human hands, it will become for us the bread of life." And then, "Fruit of the vine and work of human hands, it will become our spiritual drink." It is no accident that our Lord Jesus Christ was born among us and raised to be a laborer, and no accident that our Eucharist, the source and summit of our Christian life, has bread and wine, products of a society that has wheat fields and vineyards, which must be sown, grown, watered, tended, and harvested, and then threshed or crushed, milled and baked or fermented to produce the bread and wine that are transformed into the bread of life and the blood of the new and eternal covenant. Think of that when you next taste the Eucharist and choose to live in solidarity with all those who labor.